You can almost see the House rubbing its collective hands together, anticipating a long list of reforms it will debate applying to the IRS. This as the filing season draws to a close and the IRS starts in earnest to prepare for next year's under new tax laws. Joining me with highlights of the IRS reforms, Bloomberg government reporter Sarah Babbage. Sarah, good to have you on.
Thanks for having me.
And I was looking at the list that Bloomberg compiled here, and I'm really surprised at how many separate little bills there are that would change a lot about the IRS. I don't know where to begin, but let's start with IRS customer services, modifying summons and asset seizures, a lot of sort of a potpourri under this bill. Tell us about that one.
There are really quite a few bills. I believe there are 13 bills that the House is expected to take up this week on the IRS. I think they want to make the IRS into a more customer-friendly agency and also modernize it a little bit. One of the things that lawmakers have really criticized the IRS for is its outdated IT and, doing a lot of services through the fax machine still. So there are lots of bills here that would direct the IRS to kind of modernize itself and bring more of its taxpayer services online. And then you mentioned the asset forfeiture. There are two bills dealing with the IRS policies on asset forfeiture, which is when the IRS seizes money or property to settle a tax debt. These bills would set terms of when the IRS can seize people's property and how long it can hold this property for when there's potential criminality involved, and when it can sell seized goods to settle tax debt.
And I guess also sometimes the IRS seizes perishable goods and there's a law that says it can't sell them.
Right. So that's what one of these bills would specifically relate to, the kind of question of what is a perishable good and when is it okay for the IRS to say, all right, so we've seized, flowers from a flower shop. They're going to wilt pretty soon if we don't sell them. And so if we're going to settle this tax debt, we need to just, sell these off. This would kind of set terms for when the IRS can do that. And right now, the IRS is actually also allowed to just sell goods right away if it determines that it would be too expensive to hold on to them. So if, these goods are going to be really expensive to store, then it can just sell them within 10 days to the first person that comes along. That's without minimum bid requirements.
It curtails some of their authority, in other words.
Yeah, it does. It sets the terms. They can still seize goods, but it would be a more kind of limited window for what it can do with them.
And there's another interesting one here with respect to taxpayer personal identification numbers. The bill says the Treasury would have to issue these IPPIs, Identity Protection Personal Identification Numbers. Don't they do that now for every taxpayer, or what's the story?
They don't. And this is basically a PIN like what you have when you go to an ATM and try to withdraw money from your bank account. It's a six-digit code that they're giving out to some taxpayers. Right now, you can only get one if you have been a victim of identity theft or there's some kind of identity theft issue on your account with the IRS, or they've expanded this as a pilot in the District of Columbia in two states, so taxpayers there can request one. But this would direct the IRS to give these taxpayer PINs to everyone so that it's just a little more secure. And it cuts down on some of the fraud we've been seeing with people filing fake tax returns.
All right. So there's 13 bills. We don't have time to go through all of them. What are the prospects? And do these tend to have bipartisan support?
So these bills are mostly bipartisan. And a lot of them are kind of making small changes, and some are codifying current IRS policy. So I would expect them all to move forward in the House. The Senate hasn't really announced any plans to take up IRS modernization and reform, but I think that they're fairly non-controversial. So we should see at least passage in the House this week.
We're speaking with Bloomberg government reporter Sarah Babbage, and you've also written about some developments with respect to the FAA, which needs authorization, and that's going to come up this week, too. Tell us more there.
Yeah, so the FAA has been operating on short-term extensions since midway through last year. And that always just creates so much uncertainty for the agency and for travelers. It makes it difficult to plan for the long term. And so finally, it looks like Congress is going to advance a five-year reauthorization for the agency. A bill was released late last week. A vote is probably going to be next week on it. One thing that's really big that's not in it is a proposal to privatize air traffic control. This is something that House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee Chairman Bill Schuster has been pushing. He says the agency is inefficient and it's been really slow to upgrade its technology. And he says that it would be better handled by creating a new non-governmental corporation that would oversee air traffic control.
Yeah, that's really a surprise because I know that even some Democrats in Congress supported that idea. The Union of Air Traffic Controllers was behind it a couple of years ago. How come? And now you've got a Republican in the White House. I'm just wondering why this suddenly has no chance anymore.
Yeah, so I think it just it didn't have really enough votes to get through the House. And even if it got through the House, it just wasn't going to get through the Senate. And now Bill Schuster has announced that he's retiring, and he was kind of the biggest advocate for it in Congress. He said at the end of the year, he's out of Congress. At this point, it seems like he just wants to get this done and be on his way. And he's conceded that it was just too much of an uphill battle, despite, you know, as you said, having a lot of allies, including the Trump administration, that it was at a stalemate for so long. And now they're like, okay, we just need to get this done.
So now with 5 years of authorization, then it won't come up again, at least for 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, we could see other reforms for the FAA in the meanwhile, but this should set the agency well on its way. And it would kind of set a long-term research agenda for the agency and also set terms of an initiative it's undertaking called NextGen to upgrade its air traffic control.
Right. They've been at that for 10 years now, and it still only operates in very limited parts of the country. I guess, is there anything in the authorization bill that tells them to get on with it already and get that thing deployed?
You know, nothing huge, but it provides money for it, and it asks the FAA to be a little more accountable, you know, provide some reports on its progress. So then that's really one of the things that Bill Schuster has criticized the agency for. So hopefully we'll continue to see progress and the new technologies involved with NextGen rolling out to more airports.
Sarah Babbage is a reporter with Bloomberg Government. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
We'll post a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe to all of our interviews at iTunes or Podcast One.